Hallelujah. God has come to set us free. Came to set the captives free, to open prison bars, amen, to let the captives go free. Amen. Hallelujah. Freedom. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Amen. There's liberty, right? Yeah, freedom. So God is for freedom. The devil's for bondage. And we've been set free from what? What have we been set free from?
The law of sin and death.
The law of sin and death. Amen. What have we been set free from? Slavery.
Despair.
Thank you, brother. From what? Ourselves. We've been set free. Amen. From the power of sin. Right? Which was in the law. Amen. So guess what? You don't have to serve sin. And if you do, shame on you. Shame on you if you're in sin, though. Shame is a good thing if it brings us to repentance. We need to be ashamed sometimes. Amen? That's what happens. You get what we call convicted, right?
Yeah, I did feel shame.
Yeah, amen. But then we just turn to Jesus with it and we unload it, right? We don't have to carry it. That's the thing. Now, the enemy wants to accuse and to bring us into condemnation. That's a whole different ball game there. We don't want to play that game. How many know what I'm talking about? When you mess up, he just comes up and says, look what you did. The Holy Spirit convicts us. And we're like, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up, Lord. Forgive me for that. You know? And you don't have to go and run and hide somewhere in the corner. Amen? Well, I can't go to church today because of what I did or what I thought on the way in. Or, you know, the enemy is very clever. He's not stupid. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need the wisdom of God. We need the ability that God supplies, because we're no match for our adversary in our own ability, in our own strength, in our own willpower to live holy. Nothing worse than someone trying to be holy who isn't holy. You got to be holy in order to be holy. You got to become holy in order to be holy. You don't act holy. Amen? You become holy. God makes us whole. God makes us holy. You get that? I don't make myself holy. God makes me holy.
Yeah.
It's called grace. The conviction of the Holy Spirit brings us to the cross, brings us to repentance, to where you want to get that monkey off your back. You know what I'm talking about? That sin problem, that guilt problem, that shame problem. You want to get that thing off of you. And you want to lay it down at the cross. And you want to leave it there under the blood. Amen. The devil wants you to pick it back up again. He wants to offer it back to you after you've repented. You know, ever notice that? You've repented for something 30, 40 times and maybe even more. And then the enemy comes up and says, would you like this again? Would you like to pick it back up again and carry it around and feel guilty about what you did 30 years ago, whatever it was? Or do you want to just lay it at the cross and say, Jesus, I thank you that your blood covers it, amen, that it's forgiven, never to be remembered again.
Right.
And if I'm hearing about that over and over, it's somebody else speaking. It's not the Holy Spirit. Once we have repented, it's over. Amen. Praise God. We don't want to listen to that other voice that just keeps bringing it back, bringing it back, bringing it back. The accuser. It was funny during this week, VBS, Barbara's playing a lot of Carmen videos, you know. Some of you remember the Carmen videos, right? Well, they're still good, man. In fact, they're excellent, I thought. But I remember one of the videos that he did is called Satan Bite the Dust or something. And he used to have this saying that when the devil reminds you of your past, do what? Remind him of his future, right? So, amen. So praise God that we're forgiven today. You receive that? You see, forgiveness you don't earn. Forgiveness you receive.
Hallelujah.
You believe and receive what God has done for you.
Gratefully.
As you confess it, he said he's faithful and just to forgive you. Now, you know, I've used this illustration before, but, you know, sometimes, though, this is how we treat the Lord is, if you had a friend that you had done something, maybe not even intentionally, but you had offended them in some way or, you know, hurt their feelings, whatever it might have been. and you go to that friend and say, you know what, I'm so sorry. I don't know what came over me. I was out of character. I should have never talked to you that way or treated you that way. And then your friend in mercy says, you know what, it's okay. I forgive you. Let's let it go. And then what do? You offend them again. And then you say, would you please forgive me? I don't know what came over me. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have talked to you that way. And they said, well, okay, I forgive you. Let's just forget about it. And then you offend them again. Come on, somebody. Have you really repented of that thing? No. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of heart. Repentance is me being done with that way. Being done with self-will, being done with my way. I'm now walking His way. It's not about repeating over and over and over and over again. And every time coming to God and saying, I'm sorry. You haven't really repented until you're done. Come on, somebody. You have to die to yourself. You have to die to those things and say, I'm done with that life. I'm done with that way. It only leads to death. But thank God we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. And what the devil wants you to do is instead of running to God, he wants you to run away from God. He wants you to run and hide or attempt to run and hide. How many know you can't hide from God? Come on, that day in court is coming for all of us. We all have that appointment. We have an appointment with God. And I don't want to be carrying anything. Amen? That doesn't belong. That God says is illegal. That God says is not good. I want to get rid of all that stuff. I want to lay it all down at the altar.
Yes, yes.
I want to die to myself, die to my ways. Amen? And I want to walk in new life. I want to walk in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And by the power of God, by the ability of God, by the grace of God, we will overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Do you understand? It's not about me striving and trying harder. It's me dying to myself and to my ways and refusing to allow that old sin nature to rule me any longer. For I'm not under the law, but I'm in grace. I'm under grace.
Yes, yes, yes.
So sin shall not have dominion over me. I don't allow it to have dominion over me. I rule this body. I tell, amen, this soul and body what to do. It doesn't tell me what to do. In the flesh, that's all we can do. But if you're in the Spirit, if Christ is in you, you have the adult, amen, you have the power of God, the ability of God to say no to your flesh, to your sin nature, and yes to God. And that's where life and peace comes. When we're being yes people when it comes to God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm glad you made it this morning, aren't you? I'm glad you didn't listen to that other voice. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. I know there's reasons why people can't be here, but there's also poor excuses for why they're not here too today. You know, God wants you in church. As often as possible. The Word of God says so. Hebrews 10, look it up, 18, right? Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves. And, you know, I heard a preacher friend of mine say, oh, don't tell people to come to church because they won't. And, you know, I found that to be true. This seems like the more you talk about coming to church, the less they come to church. Do you think it might be a rebellion problem? I'm not sure. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, what if God is speaking? What if God is telling you to do something? Are you going to say that to God? God, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do it my way. Well, I don't know how it ended up with him doing it his way. At the end, how many know that is a foolish way to live? Just doing it your way. This is not Burger King. Can't have it your way. I found that His way is better. It's superior. It always works. His way is blessed. His way is difficult as well. Because we have many enemies. We have enemies within and enemies without. Kind of like America today. We have enemies within and enemies without. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning How many here today are concerned about what you see happening in the country? I think we all should be, right? Unless we're completely got our head in the sand or something. But I also want to just say that things are not always the way they appear. And don't believe everything you hear, especially coming from the mainstream media and from Hollywood. If you have a diet, a steady diet of that, you will be deceived in your thinking. This stuff is coming. There is an agenda. The enemy wants to erode us as a sovereign nation and bring us to submission into a place where we lose our sovereignty and give it over to the rule of others who we don't even know or should even trust. And God is a God of freedom. He's a God of liberty, liberty and justice for all. And that's how we were founded. And the enemy wants to take that away because he wants slaves. He doesn't like it when people are free because he knows that's his demise. And he wants to take as many of us as he can with him. Now, I want to start out this morning's message with 2 Chronicles 7, but we want to go with verse 11 and then through 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11 through 14. And I want to make this statement once again. Our future, hear me please, our future as a nation is left to the people of God. It's up to you and I. We're either going to be part of the solution or part of the problem. You cannot serve two masters. We have to choose who we're going to serve, who we're going to bow down to, who we're going to obey. And Paul said, whoever you obey, you become that one's servant. So if you're obeying sin, you're the servant of sin. If you obey the Spirit of the Lord, then you're His child. The dedication of Solomon's temple is what this is all about. And I just want us to read a few verses from this. Solomon finished the house of the Lord, verse 11, and the king's house. And Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, when he says, I shut up heaven, what? Or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, that would be disease. Verse 14, if my people, that's the title of this morning's message, is if my people. Who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and what? Forgive their sin and heal their land. Why is it that the future of our nation is left up to the people of God? Because we are the ones who have the knowledge of God. We are the ones who should know what is true. Can I suggest to you that there is a famine in the land today for what is true? That the reason why our nation is where it's at is because of a lack of revelation, a lack of knowledge of God, a lack of the knowledge of the truth. Not only is it a problem of people not knowing what is true, but people rejecting what is true. So either there's a situation where people are ignorant to what is true, or they're rebellious against the truth. Either case, it leaves us in a vulnerable situation for our enemy to come in and conquer and rule, amen, and make slaves out of us. Anytime we have favor or favoritism, or what's the word, sympathetic towards evil, in our lives, no matter how small it may be, we are giving the enemy permission. We're giving him access to operate in that part of our lives. So we have to be very careful of what we allow or disallow. We want to allow the truth, amen? But we certainly want to disallow the lie. And the lie is what's being propagated 24/7 on the media. Now, I know there's true news, but it's mixed. I do believe there is a thing called fake news today. Somebody say amen. I'm not here to make a political statement. I'm just here to say that we're living in times of great deception. We're living in times when many people are already under the sway, under the influence, under the power of the spirit of Antichrist. And at the root of all that you see happening in the natural, in the streets, in the political arena, is basically a sign of what's going on in the invisible realm. It's simply the fruit of what's going on in the invisible realm. There is a spiritual battle taking place. This is against the forces, amen, of Christ and Antichrist. And there are people who claim to be followers of Jesus who are actually enemies of the cross. What I mean by that is they're actually under the sway or under the influence of the Antichrist. And yet they believe that somehow they're in right standing with God. But yet Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit. So don't tell me you're Christian. Demonstrate that to me by the way you truly live your life. Amen? Because the world is watching. We have people that go church shopping all the time. They just bounce around from church to church to church until they finally find one, in many cases, that just tells them what they want to hear. They give them the feel-good message where there's no conviction of sin. There's no, you know, requirement of holiness. Come on, somebody. And that God somehow just wants to make you rich. It's all about money, you know. Not. Turn to your neighbor and say, not. We have the knowledge. We have the knowledge of the truth. And you know, the problem is that many do perish because they don't have that knowledge. And there's also the situation where people, even after they've heard the message of the truth repeatedly, they still choose to disobey the Lord. Look at Jeremiah 18 and verse 7. Jeremiah 18, verse 7. This is how God deals with nations. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit. Folks, this not only applies to nations, but this also applies to individuals. Because nations are made up of individuals. What you do as an individual does have influence on the corporate whole. It does have influence on what happens in society. You are going to be an influence for good or for evil. Depends on who you want to bow down to and who you want to listen to. And people think, well, it's just a little sin. It's no big deal. It's something and nobody would see and nobody would know. Oh, yes. How many know that in the invisible realm, there's all kinds of stuff being vomited up all the time, and the enemy wants you to get involved with that? He wants you to be a partner with him because he is leading a rebellion against God. Amen? And Satan can't touch God, but he can touch God through you and I. He can grieve God's heart if he can get us to obey him, because God loves us so much. I've shared this pattern with you many times before, but we see throughout history of the nations, there's a tendency for, You know, where people finally end up in a place of bondage or in tyranny or a great oppression as a nation, that the gospel has come in, the light of Christ has come in, or the truth has come in, and people have awakened, and they called out and they cried out to God, and they've repented of their sins, and they've renounced their sinful ways, and God intervenes, and God heals that land, God restores that people, and God begins to once again bless the land so it produces a good harvest, amen, and good fruit, and that they become prosperous. And then once people become prosperous, we have a tendency to forget God and get into a place called complacency. Starts out with a little complacency, which can then lead to apathy. And once you get back into that place, you end up back in bondage again. And so goes the cycle. Israel was a good example of that over and over again. And it was twice in Israel's history where they really ended up in great bondage because of their rebellion and their refusal to listen to the voice of God. God wanted to bless Israel. God wanted Israel to be an example to the rest of the nations, what He was like. And so Israel had refused to listen to God. And because of that, because God is just, God had to punish His people. And they ended up in Egyptian bondage. Eventually they ended up in Babylonian bondage because they refused to listen to God. How many know that if a nation continues to rebel against God, God will turn that nation over to its enemies? And don't think because we have such a powerful military that somehow that's all we need. We better not put our trust in horses and chariots. Amen? We better put our trust in the name of our God. We need to return to God as a nation. If my people, He didn't say if the heathen, He said if my people will humble themselves and pray. That's you and I. King Saul disobeyed, remember the word of the Lord, and lost his kingdom. He's rejected. And as a result, that spirit that was upon the Holy Spirit that was on Saul, God placed upon David. Amen. And what happened to Saul? It says that Saul received a distressing or tormenting spirit from the Lord. What was the result of Saul's disobedience to God? Not only did he lose his kingdom, eventually he lost his life, but he lost his peace. He ended up receiving a spirit that tormented him, a distressing spirit. And the only thing that would pacify him, at least in the short term, was to have David come and play music with under the anointing, and it would temporarily lift. But how many know that's what happens in churches today? People come into church and they get a temporary relief. But they walk out that door, that tormenting spirit is still with them. You want to know why? Because unless we repent, we'll perish. Unless we repent, truly repent of our sins, that thing will continue to find residence. It'll continue to torment us. We have to come to the place where we are done with the devil. We're done with the world. We're done with our own self-will. Amen. We have submitted ourselves to God. Amen. And then we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. You see, some people are trying to resist the devil, but they haven't submitted to God yet. They're in trouble. You don't want to do that. Listen to what Peter said about the church. He's speaking to the church here about false prophets, but also he's really referring to backsliding in general. Look at this in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. And we know he's speaking to those who once were in right standing with God by what he says. Listen to verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. You see, sometimes people just get entangled. How many beside myself have ever get entangled in something? Amen? But if you don't deal with it, and you continue to justify what you're doing, and you continue to rebel against God, you can be overcome by it. He says, if you're entangled and then what? Overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit and a sour pig being washed to her wallowing in the mire. Wow. Those are strong words. And I know sometimes, you know, when we're reading through the Bible, we want to kind of approach it like a buffet. You know? I think I'll spend a little time over here in the dessert aisle. In fact, I think I want to spend most of my time in the dessert aisle. I don't know about that liver and onions. That's demonic. Come on, somebody say amen. That stuff's bad, man. No. But, you know, we have to be careful that we eat a balanced diet. That we accept the whole counsel of God. Amen. That we rightly divide the truth. That we receive the word of the Lord, because it's only the word of God that's going to make the difference. It's receiving the light, the revelation of God. To have God revealed to us, to know what is true, then we won't be duped by what is false. But having received the truth, now we're responsible to make a decision whether we will be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving ourselves. What is the only hope for America? The only hope for America, hear me today, is an awakened church. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to wake up. We need to take God's warning seriously. I believe, folks, at the present, we are in big trouble. Now, there's some people that just turn off all media. They pay no attention to anything. And they kind of live in fantasy world. There's a lot of people that spend most of their time just playing video games and tuning out of reality. And if I looked at you, I didn't mean anything by that. I repent. But the enemy is good at keeping us distracted, not paying attention to what's happening around us. Because if we're not paying attention, then he can continue to do what he's doing unchallenged. And the only thing that's really going to be a challenge, hear me, to the spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of the living God moving through the church of Jesus. We are the opposition. We are the world changers. We are the influencers. We are the ones that can make a difference, starting with ourselves, starting with our families, moving into our communities, praying for our nation's leaders, amen, not just criticizing them. But it's the church, if my people, called by my name, will humble themselves. Now, God knows and realizes the tendency for us to turn away from him. So thank God he offers a way back. But this is the thing. We must turn back. Some people know there's a way. Some people know that way. But they keep delaying, keep delaying, keep delaying. One of these days, one of these days. Not now, not yet. I have a lot of things I want to do right now. One of these days. I wonder how many had said that in the time of Noah when he was preparing the ark and he was preaching righteousness. One of these days I'll join you in the work. One of these days, you know, we'll start following your God. But for right now, I'm going to eat and drink and be merry. For right now, we're going to marry and give in marriage and doing all these other things, being just occupied in life, but not having a clue. Many people don't have a clue what is up on the horizon here. Now, I'm going to kind of shift things a little bit here. I think you'll appreciate this. I already mentioned it once, but we're continually bombarded with a message of gloom and doom. A message of hopelessness from the mainstream media and even from Hollywood. Just about everything you see now, negative, 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 no good, broken, bad, hopeless. And if we're not careful, we'll start to come under the influence of that thinking. Now, what the enemy wants to do, hear me today, this is very important, is he wants to get you and I to look at the situation in America, to look at what we see happening and what's being presented even in the news, as being too much, too bad, too far gone, somehow bigger than our God. And he wants to shrink God in your mind, in your heart, to become less than what's actually being seen in the natural. But the just shall live by faith. Faith is believing that God will do what he said he would do if we will get with him, if we will understand what he means and what he says and how we can do this, and we get with him and with his program, and we start obeying the word of the Lord, we start getting back to prayer, we start getting back, amen, to obedience to the Lord as a people, then things can turn around. Oh, you don't know how bad it really is. So what are we saying? Do we just throw in the towel and let the devil have his way?
No.
Or do we say, wait a minute, we don't have to tolerate this. God has given us his authority. God has given us weapons, amen, of our warfare, which are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do we believe in our God, the greatness of our God, or are we just looking at what's being vomited out through the media and through Hollywood and accepting that lie as though this was reality? I believe, folks, a lot of what you're seeing is the magnification of a minority that makes it look like it's a majority. And if we're not careful, we begin to believe that lie, we begin to submit to it, and we finally get discouraged and we say, oh, it's just too far gone. I might as well just join with the rest of them. I might as well just sit around and play video games. Do you understand what I'm saying today, folks? This is serious business. The devil is very busy right now. And he has captivated many people. He's enslaved them in their minds, and their thought life is permeated with negativity, with doom and gloom and hopelessness. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, to be worried, to be concerned about any of these things, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. God instead wants his people to rise up in this occasion. This is our greatest hour. Now is a time for the church to arise and shine, for our light has come. Yes, deep darkness will come upon the people, but it shall not rise upon you. We are his people. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. God has called us to be influencers, not to throw in the towel and let the devil have his way. It's time for us to arise and say no more. I refuse to bow down to Baal. I refuse to bow down to that image of gold. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We're going to stand side by side as partners in the Lord. We're going to pray and call heaven down. Amen. We're going to do our part. We're going to repent of our sins, our wicked ways, turn away from them. It's time to get back to the altar. Get back to God. Make sure, amen, you got oil in your lamp. Make sure you're ready for what's coming. And in the meantime, let's throw the net out. Amen. Let's gather as many as we can. Let's reach the lost for Jesus. Amen. There's a harvest out there. There's low-hanging fruit. There's people that are waiting to hear what you have to give. And God, we need your power. We need your strength. There's no such thing as hopelessness for the people of God. Romans 15:13, I sent this out this morning. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That he may fill you with all what? Joy and peace in believing. Whose report are you going to believe? As for me and my house, right? If God is for us, who can be against us? Greater is He than he that's in the world. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Whose report are we going to receive? You understand, the devil wants us to dwell on his report. God wants us to believe his word. When the children of Israel were getting ready, remember, to cross over into the land, and the spies, the 12, were sent out, and they came back with what? The evil report. Why was it evil? It was because they came back and said, it's too big, it's too far gone. There's giants in the land. To them, we're just like grasshoppers. We're so small, there's just no way we can do this. But God had promised them that land. If they would believe that God would do what He said He would do, they could have what God said they could have. Do we want our nation back? Do we want to make America great again? Amen? God wants to make America great again. Donald Trump will not, but together, amen, as His people, calling on the Lord, doing the right thing, America can become great again, because you and I have the ability, we have the power, we have the influence, because the greater one is in us than he that's in the world. So we're either going to give in and allow things just to continue to go, we can get into the que sera, sera, whatever will be mentality, and which is the enemy wants. He wants passivity in the church of God. He wants his people just to be passive and just, oh, whatever. It's been prophesied. How many know that God wants us to fight?
Yes, he does.
We're a soldier in the army of God.
Amen.
And every good soldier, he doesn't occupy himself with the things of this world so he may please the one who enlisted him. We don't get ourselves bogged down and just temporary things. Man, we're on assignment. We've been given a mission. We have a reason. We have a purpose to live. We have a reason to die. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Here we have no continuing city, but you and I are to be salt and light, to be influencers, amen? And to make a difference in our society, to make a difference in our families, to make a difference in the schools. Wherever we find ourselves on the workplace, we can be influencers right there because God is with us and God is in us. God is for us. Whose report are you going to believe? You see, many people have actually, they've given up. There's many people in the church who have just come into a place of passivity. They're in a place of complacency, in some cases, flat out apathy. Whatever. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Is that God's heart? Is that what God wants? I hope none of us here believe that it's God's will that our children perish, that our children be polluted and corrupted by all this garbage and filth that they're trying to pump down their throats. Amen. Let me just say this. Folks, it's not the school's responsibility to teach our kids to pray anyways. But if we get back to the family and moms and dads being moms and dads, amen, and teaching our children how to pray and teaching them the Word of God and establishing them in the truth, amen, so that when our kids are going into school, they're going as ambassadors. They're going to go light up the night in that place, amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want my kid being taught how to pray by somebody from school. I don't know who they are, what persuasion they're of, amen. It's my responsibility as a parent to teach my children. And if we get back to that, instead we want to sit around and watch TV or play video games while our kids are going to hell. Or we leave it up just to the church. Oh, it's the church's response. No, it's not. We can do something. We can help. We can work together. Amen. And we're here to support you. But ultimately, you're responsible for your children and for their spiritual welfare. I heard a report the other day and I was really blessed to hear that, but one of the little children spoke up and said, "My mom and daddy, they pray with me every night before I go to bed." And I thought, right on. If we got to sow into our children, because the world will have them if the love of God doesn't get them. You get it? This is life and death. This is a battle of life and death. It's serious business. Let's look at Ezekiel 37, verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this is another teaching, but I want us to just kind of read through this, and there's one point I want to make on this. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit in the Lord, of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. What he's saying is, you alone know the answer to that. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? He didn't answer with an emphatic, oh yes. Did you notice that? He didn't just say, oh yes, of course they can. Because what he was seeing was just death, barrenness, hopelessness. In the natural, he was looking. So God said, can these bones live? He says, Lord, you know the answer to that. Only you know that. He didn't say yes, but he said, you know the answer, God. So then God does this in verse 4. He said to me, prophesy to these bones. Speak to them and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. What did God do? God told Ezekiel, hear me, to do something about it. Don't just sit there and hope something's going to happen. You need to be in partnership with me. Together we're going to do this. You need to speak what I'm speaking. You need to do what I'm doing. And as we do this together, we're going to see things change and shift, even in society. And we know this is speaking about Israel, national Israel, and how God would raise them up and bring them back from the four corners of the earth and bring them back to their land. And that's exactly what's been happening. But it also has a spiritual application to us today, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you and I in Christ are the spiritual Israel. No longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female. All are one in Christ Jesus. God has brought the two into one new man, Jew and Gentile. And so Ezekiel obeyed the Lord. And in verse 5 it says, the Lord God to these bones. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And that is exactly what happened. They lived. And there was nothing, hear me, because I see America today here. There is nothing in the natural that could change that situation. It has to be supernatural. We are a supernatural people. We serve a supernatural God. We serve the Most High God, the all-powerful God. And we've been given the assignment and authorization to go to represent Him in His name, to proclaim the kingdom, to declare His word, to reveal His glory, to cast out demons, to prophesy to dead bones, come alive. It was the intervention of God. But it required Ezekiel's cooperation. Do we understand the hour? What time? How many of you have heard that statement? What time is it? Do you understand what time it is right now? You understand that we can't play church any longer. It's not okay just to come and do a church thing once in a while. Folks, it requires a daily step of obedience. Amen. Walking with the Lord daily. It requires you and I having a prayer life, having a relationship with God where we know His voice, where we are being led by His Spirit, where we're obedient to what God is telling us to do, what we're saying, what God is telling us to say. And when we do that, we get into agreement, into cooperation with God. Even as Ezekiel prophesied to dry bones, they came alive. And the same thing will happen with you and I when we quit putting the toys away. Amen. Get rid of the junk, get rid of the stuff that's hindering us, and get back to the altar, get back to God, get on fire for Jesus Christ. Amen. Let the fire of God permeate our being.
Amen.
So we are motivated. We are once again motivated by the love of Christ to where we want to be together. We want to pray. We want to see His kingdom come. We want to see people saved. We want to see people healed. We want to see people delivered. His desire is in us. And if we don't care about those things, then we have to question where we really stand today. If that's not in you, if that's not your desire, if you could care less about that, then you need to get saved. There's a lot of people who aren't saved who think they are. Can America live again? Somebody say yes. Can the dry bones of the church live again? Woo! Say yes, Lord. Amen. If my people... Now is not the time to lay down and die. It's time to stand up and fight. Amen. Father, thank You today for the body of Christ. Thank You for Your promise to never leave us or forsake us. Lord, today we turn back to You as a people. And Lord, we don't want to see our nation, our beloved nation, continue to fall. And we're asking You, God, for mercy, that You would please forgive us, forgive our sins, and heal our land. Bring our nation back to You, Lord. God, we pray for divine intervention, for a divine visitation, God, and habitation in the White House and through every echelon of government, God, that You would flush out, root out, Lord, those rogue elements that are undermining this Constitution and this nation for which it stands. Under God, we just pray, oh, mighty God, we call upon You today, Lord, and we say, have mercy. Have mercy on us. Forgive us for all that we've done, God, and our rebellion as a nation, God. We ask You to intervene. We ask You to heal. We ask You to restore. We ask You to empower, to embolden Your church, Your bride, Your people. Lord, we pray for the fire of the Holy Spirit to fall in this room, even right now, God. We pray, Lord, fire from heaven to fall right now. God, we pray that You would empower, You would strengthen, You will encourage, You will equip. Lord, that You will motivate our hearts with what motivates Your heart, God, today. In the day, Lord, we also pray that You would break our hearts with the things that break Your heart, God. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that You draw us all close to You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. The only thing that's going to change is a divine intervention. The only thing that's going to change America. The only thing that's going to turn this around. And folks, I'm not one of those who's just going to look at all the slop and the negativity and all that stuff and just throw in the towel and say, oh, well, it's just so bad. It's so far gone. No, I'm here today because I believe that we have a chance if we will turn back to the Lord. His promises remain true. I believe the Word of God. I want us to have that spirit, amen, of Caleb and of Joshua that said, we're well able. We're not going to receive this report. We're not going to look at that. We're not going to look at things in the natural. Let God arise. Let Yah arise. God arise. God arise in our nation again. Arise in the hearts of Your people again, Lord. Stirring up that gift of God within us, Lord. Bring us to full flame, Lord. Give us holy passion to glorify Your name. Let Your fire fall, Lord. Purify Your people. Set our hearts aflame. Give us holy passion to glorify Your name.